Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter. Hey Watchers, it's Nine, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. This week we get Scott and Dan's feedback on the NBC sitcom Grand Crew. As usual, the feedback segment does get into spoilers, so please be warned if you're trying to avoid spoilers for Grand Crew. Grand Crew originally broadcast on NBC, and it is available to stream on Hulu, Peacock, and a number of other NBC sites like E!, Telemundo, Bravo, and Sci-Fi. Also, I have a correction about the correction from the last week's intro, which is part of the, cavalcade of unforced errors you've come to, I hope, love, but maybe at least tolerate in this podcast. So let me explain. We've been recording multiple podcast segments at a time and then banking them. And then due to some confusion on my end, because we had so many threads going on, my correction for last week's intro was premature because it was supposed to correct a mistake that I made in the feedback for Grand Crew that you're going to hear today and not a mistake in the pitch from Grand Crew that was released last week. So, as previously mentioned, but now actually applicable, please be aware that in the feedback segment for Grand Crew on today's episode, that I thought Sweet Clyde was an actual Harlem Globetrotter, but it turns out he is a fictional Harlem Globetrotter that only exists in the universe of the TV show Futurama. I hope this clears things up, and at least the Change.org petition mentioned in our social media post will make a lot more sense now. Later in today's episode, Scott pitches the miniseries Pam and Tommy, which is available on Hulu. As always, please rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and feel free to hit us up on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook pages. Also, if you have a show or movie you want us to watch, or just something random you want us to mention on air, please leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. All right, Watchers, boot up your Windows 95 machine and get to your favorite GeoCities site and get ready to enjoy the show. Hey guys, it's Nyan, and we are here to talk about the show Grand Crew, which is available on Peacock and Hulu, and it was season one was broadcast on NBC relatively recently, and it's also available on a bunch of other random NBC properties, as mentioned in the pitch, Sci-Fi, E, etc. So, and now we're back here to find out what Scott and Dan thought. Guys, what did you guys think about Grand Crew?
I have to say, I'm disappointed in Rap Sajak. I really thought he was going to buy a house from
Ricky.
Oh,
man. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
He was such a disappointment.
He really was.
He really was. I mean, he definitely gets the Drake, I don't like that, you know, meme, 100%.
No new friends.
No new friends, yeah. Cheryl already watched it, of course, because of Nicole Byer. So she heard I was watching, and she was very excited for me. So, and she was right to be excited because I did very much enjoy this for some of the many reasons of the pitch, and also just because it was super easy to be comfortable with these characters,
right? Like, I just want to hang out with these guys all the time.
Yeah, I mean, again, and they're drinking some cool wine, you know, and a decent looking wine bar. You know, it's not like, you know, super, it's somewhat modern, but it's not super posh looking. It's not like, you know, this kind of place would be called, you know, with a certain, you know, gravitas behind it. You know, I feel it was like, you know, sociable and local at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Good vibes.
Yes.
What about you, Scott?
I enjoyed it. I thought it took me a little while to get going. The first two episodes, maybe it was still trying to get its footing in a certain way. But like the third, fourth, and fifth, I was fully on board and very much enjoyed it.
Awesome. Yeah, I could see that kind of, especially with the pilot, because it kind of does take a while to get there. It sets up the characters well, but mm-hmm. just in terms of the trope of the series and that them sort of using the bar as a central meeting place location, etc. You're right. It doesn't get going until three, I think, as well, and in a good meaningful way.
I wish they kept the older guy who was in the beginning and end of the pilot.
That's so funny because Mark Maron, when he interviewed Nicole Byer on WTF, said the exact same thing. Like does Garrett Morris come back?
Oh, he does come back? Oh, good.
No, he doesn't. He was like, does he come back? And she said no. And he was like, I wish he came back.
He was awesome.
Yeah, it was such like a cool way to frame the show. And I was expecting him to do that in each episode. And then when I watched the later episodes and he wasn't in them, I was like, oh, I missed that.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of when I was watching, say, like certain series as a kid. I'm trying to think of a good context. Oh, you know what? You know, it's like I think about the again, I'm referencing another show, referencing the show I'm still want to talk about, which is Fat Albert. He's like, I feel like it's like, you know, looks like the boys are gonna start a rock band. Looks like they might learn something. You might learn something too. That's kind of like the context I almost threw it in my mind, as crazy as that is. Or G.I. Joe, you know, knowing he's half the battle.
Scott, did you not recognize the old guy?
I guess not. What else has he been in?
He was in the original cast of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. I'm not an SNL fan at all.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Okay. Not at all? Maybe that's the conversation we need to have. So you don't like SNL at all?
He likes certain characters, I would say, right?
I like the Celebrity Jeopardy sketch. That was good.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you like Sandler?
Yeah, I guess. I just never watched it. I know a lot of people who are very much into it, but like my parents never watched it. I never watched it growing up. So just was something I was into.
No, but, fair enough.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, then that only makes sense why you don't recognize him. He showed up in a lot of random shows, but he's always a delight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But I think the thing he's primarily known for is being the first cast of Saturday Night Live.
Was he also in a later episode of Grand Crew? Was he the security guard whose golf cart they stole?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I thought that. I
remember who you're talking about. He that is not him. No,
it's not, it wasn't him. I had to think about that for a second. Yeah. So Scott, I have to ask, what did you think of the helm or the leader of the series? AKA Mr. Fantastic from The Flash.
Oh,
Mr. Terrific. Excuse me. Sorry, I got that wrong. Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, I was like, I knew that guy looked familiar, but I couldn't place it. But yes, that makes complete sense.
What is this nerdtastic nonsense? What are you talking about?
Echo Kellum was Mr. Terrific in The Flash on the CW.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
And he's Noah, right, in the show?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. But also, Nyan, the guy you mentioned in the pitch, Carl Tart, who you said was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine or was a writer for Brooklyn
Writer. Nine-Nine. Yes. Yeah.
He is great in this. Sherman is awesome.
I agree. Good. He's so good.
Oh, my God. 100%.
I mean, dude, he actually cried.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, once you show someone your emotional genitalia, or just do a bunch of other random stuff that doesn't involve your emotional genitalia. Yeah, someone's going to cry.
I mean, the bit with him just reading phrases off the Malcolm X poster was brilliant.
Yes.
That Usual Suspects nonsense was amazing.
Yes.
Yes. I kind of figured he was, that's like, I didn't quite pick up that it was from the Malcolm X poster, but I kind of got the sense that he was just tricking them into doing that so he would get the shoes or so he would get something out of it. But the fact that he just took all that stuff from the Malcolm X poster is pretty funny.
I mean, I there were so many, like, again, there was, I really loved how each character kind of brings their own kind of feel for love and life to different things. I mean, Noah is so out there in his kind of mindset in a lot of ways. I mean, the whole Michael Bolton bit in the beginning was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, that's speaking of 80s references, right? Or that was early 90s, rather. Maybe. Early 90s, I think, right?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Late 80s or 90s, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he had a lot of really wild, you know, things that happened to him for sure. And he had like, you know, he took the call from the ex while he was making out with the new girl. That golf cart scene was ridiculous.
Oh yeah, the golf cart scene was great.
Oh my gosh, it was like, it was so extra, but it was like so extra rom-com, but it was totally out there. And then they played like the Cranberries when the girl showed up at the bar, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like so, yeah. Again, they took so many like classic tropes, and they were able to present them in such a way that were contextually still funny and applicable to that moment, which I thought was very good.
I think that is where the show excels, because it could easily slide into mediocrity, but they choose not to, and they excel with that. They literally embrace tropes, but make them refreshing and new in a way that is enjoyable for 20 minutes a day. It's awesome.
That's what friends are for.
It is what friends are for.
I have a question though. After when you're done, Scott.
Okay. To that point, Nyan, I really enjoyed the plot where Noah is thinking that he really has a lot in common with the girl, but then it just turns out she becomes best friends with Nikki, and they're ending up in all the same spots because those are Nikki's favorite places.
Yeah. Right.
And she joins the group.
And she joins the group. That's so crazy.
And she joins the group, yeah. Yeah, like it could have just ended up as a rom-com kind of thing, but it took a different turn. I thought that was pretty cool.
Agreed, 100%. Yeah, that was awesome. I thought they did a good job, you know, kind of taking where you thought it was going to go and making it interesting.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Dan, sorry, what's your question?
So who would you rather fight, a bear or 20 badgers?
I you have to go with the Badgers, I would think, but Sherman did make a pretty good point about that.
Exactly. Yeah. I felt Sherman's point, but yeah, I feel like that you have a little bit more, again, ability, because you can basically, if you can disable a handful of them, then at least you're whittling down the pack. And if you use certain techniques to basically run away while you're fighting less of them, because they all have to struggle to keep up with you, I think that there's a lot of potential there if you can use that kind of, you know, mentality when approaching fighting multiple opponents.
Dan, you live in Manhattan. How have you spent so much time thinking about fighting badgers?
Badgers? We don't need no stinking badgers. Wait, no. Yeah, it's funny. Well, although here, contextually speaking, the rats may be almost the size of badgers, so you know it happens.
Oh, that is a very good point, actually.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I haven't had to deal with that. Although I did have a run-in with a cockroach the other day, so not at home, elsewhere, but yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. A badger-sized cockroach?
No, it was not a badger-sized cockroach. Fortunately, enough. He was about say maybe an inch and a half to almost 2 inches long. Pretty big guy. But anyway, aside from that, basically there, I there was so many awesome things that happened in here. I mean, and we talked about reality shows before. One of the few reality shows that I watch usually were cooking related ones. So the quickfire competition on the hosting competition was pretty hilarious to me, because it's like they all like, oh, I can do it in, you know, 20 minutes. And I'm like, no, don't do this. Like, nothing cooks that quickly. Don't even think about it. have you never watched these shows? Like they never have enough time, no matter how much time you think you have. But yeah, there was like so many awesome things in here in that regard.
If nothing else, I hope this show dissuades you guys from buying a German washing machine.
Absolutely.
Yes. That thing, I love the fact that the washing machine came with its own iPad.
Yeah. That was brilliant. Yeah. Here's the thing. If Scott wants to host the phone party, there are easier ways to do that.
That is true. Yeah. Much easier way, Scott.
Good. Yes. I will certainly take that into account the next time I try to have a phone party.
So next week when you're hosting that foam party, get some of those college kids to help you out with it. They know other way around some foam.
I would think so, yes. But no, I really enjoyed this show, Nyan, and it's one, and I think especially because the episodes are so short, you know, they're very easily watchable. And even though, I mean, for one thing, they're 20 minutes, but also it seemed like the time went pretty quickly when I was watching it because it was enjoyable. So this is something that I could see myself watching some additional episodes of.
Yeah, same.
Okay. So you guys sound like you are going to continue with this.
Oh yeah, I think I'm definitely going to finish season one. It's not a question at this point. And I just have to add, when Scott said he's in a party, he means conduct business in a dynamic social environment.
Yes. Basically, the way that Nikki was at that party, that is pretty much my MO for parties.
Excellent. Excellent. Productivity at its finest.
So you're not going to sip tea with bad girl Riri?
Yeah. As much as I would like to, probably not getting there. Yeah.
And by the way, congratulations to her, by the way.
Oh, wait. Did she have the baby?
No. She was pregnant. That's the last I heard. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
Yes, and Nicole Byer, of course, is extremely pleasant.
Oh, she's amazing. Yeah. She is so amazing.
I listen to at least half of her podcasts because she does two. Or no, she does four, but I definitely listen to two. And I'm actually probably going to start a petition to rename her dog because her dog, his name is Clyde. And I feel like the dog should be named Sweet Clyde. Because I don't feel like there are enough dogs that are named after Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask everyone who listens here to sign my petition to rename Nicole Byer's dog.
And let's go to change.org right now.
And I'm going to see someone she co-hosts a podcast with, Sashir Zameda, her best friend, who co-hosts a podcast called Best Friends With, and I'm going to ask Sashir if she can ask Nicole to rename her dog. So I'll let you guys know how that goes, if I remember. And nice. Please just sign my petition is all I'm asking.
Exactly.
And, you know, just based on her character from Grand Crew, which, of course, may be nothing like Nicole Byer, but I'd like to think it is, I think she'd be open to that.
She might be. Yeah, it's funny because apparently that role was actually written for her, supposedly.
Wow.
Really?
She knows the creator, Phil Augusta Jackson, from, doing improv in New York.
Wow.
And it was apparently written specifically for her. That's why the character's name is Nikki. And so it's entirely possible.
That's cool.
If we could make my dream of renaming a celebrity's dog for no good reason possible, that'd be great. But Dan,
yes, we should do this.
Please say something more important.
No, it's not more important. I just think I mean,
oh, no, it is.
There was a certain photograph that came out from the year after we graduated college, and it there was a certain segment on, I think it was episode 3, that where Turn Up Tony turns into King Tut at the end of the night. And there's a certain photo that came up in me from a long time ago where this is 100% me in some ways, because this photo of me, for those of you who don't know the context of this, it was after a very, very, very long night of drinking. I was found the next morning wrapped up in a sheet, kind of like a mummy. And I don't know if my arms were crossed at the time or whatnot, but yeah, I was definitely wrapped up like a mummy.
This sounds very familiar. And yeah, you were... I think all of this definitely happened. I co-sign all of it.
Yeah. I love how he just totally accepted his King Tut persona or his Tut persona. And at the end of that episode, it's like, and now it's time for me to go to sleep. And he just crosses his arms and lies.
Yep. He just did it.
Yeah. He's like, yep, that's definitely me.
Would you, everyone stayed here, especially, I mean, this is maybe more directed to you on the legal point. Is it all about honesty and not the tax code?
Oh, girl. It's tax code. You don't mess with the tax code. My laptop is currently supported by at least one book about the Internal Revenue Code because I needed to elevate it. Yeah, no, it's the Fundamentals of Federal Taxation, second edition by and Maine, which I will raise the roof for. From Maine. Carolina Academic Press. So yeah, it is always about the tax code. This doesn't cover the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which is the stupidest name for a law I've ever heard. But ultimately, yeah, it's all about the tax code, baby.
Well, and I wanted to ask you guys, would you be off put if you were dating someone who wore a judge's robe all the time?
I, Again, if they routinely did like Judge Mills Lane impressions, I maybe a little less so.
Less so, but it depends what I get to do with the robe.
Yes.
And yeah.
And just be sure that the gavel doesn't go in any place that's unnecessary.
Yeah, exactly. Like if I'm underneath the robe for an extended period of time, that's fine. If that's what we're doing, that's so cool.
So if she's harsh but fair, that's okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want someone who's going to balance the equities.
Yeah. So you are fully letting her get into your briefs.
That's correct. And I hope to prevail on the merits.
Great.
I don't pronounce it in the proper sense. I say habeas corpus is you know is more what I would say. Or habeas coitus might be more appropriate. Dinner and sex to go.
Overruled.
Perfect. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, there were again. So many tremendous, amazing moments that cross here, and I think I have to say, you know, if everyone goes out there watch that, I hope at some day in your life, you too might get a Rap Sajak diss track.
That is certainly a great life goal to have.
Bang, bang, bang.
And that's what we thought.
Hey guys, so this is Scott, and I'm here with my next pitch. And this is the, I guess you call it a dramatization, called Pam and Tommy, which is available now on Hulu. Or a miniseries, I guess you could say, because I believe it's only supposed to be this one season. So as anyone who lived through the mid-90s probably remembers, there was a fairly famous sex tape that featured Pamela Anderson and her husband at the time, Tommy Lee, who's the drummer for Motley Crue. And it got a lot of attention and of course, was distributed widely over this fairly new thing at the time called the internet. And I'll go into in a second one of the things that I thought was pretty funny about looking at that era in history. But basically, this series tries to go a little bit behind the headlines and to give a perspective from both Pam and Tommy and other people involved in this tape, how it was acquired, basically, because it was a private tape that the two of them had filmed on a vacation. So how basically it went from being a private tape that was being stored in their safe at their house to being distributed broadly and getting a lot of tabloid press and, of course, a bunch of people seeing what was a very private situation. So that's the main, basically that is the main premise of the show. It is, I guess, based on a news article, if I remember. Yeah, it was a Rolling Stone article, actually, from 2014, The Untold Story of the World's Most Infamous Sex Tape. So this is something that, and I will say I have not seen the actual sex tape. I don't know if either of you have. I don't recall seeing it, at least. But you don't have to
answer. I probably did that at some point.
Yeah, same. I probably did
that. Yeah.
But it intrigued me as to how it became such a huge deal, how it took on this life that it did, and what it meant also for Pam and Tommy and the other people that were involved, and including the people that acquired the tape or obtained it, then distributed it, utilized the early days of the internet to promote it and to get it out to a number of people, and what was their motivation for doing this, and other things like that. And it has a really first-rate cast. Lily James plays Pamela Anderson. Sebastian Stan is Tommy Lee. Seth Rogen is in this as well, who plays, I guess I'm not spoiling a lot because they do pretty much set this up in the first episode. He is the person who actually gets the tape from their house. He steals it, basically takes their entire safe and then opens it and finds the tape inside. And what happens to him? Also a great performance by Nick Offerman. as a porn producer who also gets involved with this. And Seth Rogen, I think, was an executive producer as well. So that's basically what this is about. And I found it to be very intriguing, and just learning more about how this all came about. That's what I kind of read about, and that's what you find out by watching the miniseries. And I have seen the entire miniseries, so it does follow a path over the entire course of it. It is available on Hulu, like I said, and was released at the end of last year, or early this year, I should say, early 2022. So there you go. And Dan, I know that you are familiar with Sebastian Stan's work as the Winter Soldier.
Of course, yeah.
So that might be interesting to see him in a very, very different role. And Nyan, I think you've watched some of the Marvel movies and shows as well, right? So you know him from that.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen him in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. He was also great in The Bronze. I don't know if, I think that's what it was called. It was a movie with Melissa Rauch from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, wow.
Where she plays I think it's a figure skater. And he's in that as well. She's incredibly foul-mouthed, and it's delightful. So I enjoy him as an actor, certainly. And this was on my list to check out. We just kept putting it off. So it's good to have a reason to finally jump into it. And Kate will be happy as well, because I kept putting it off. And I'm a huge Seth Rogen fan for some reason. And Nick Offerman's great as well. So
yeah, I'd say, I know you watch Parks and Rec. Is that correct, Nyan?
Yeah. Huge Parks and Rec fan.
Yeah, so there you go. So this gives you a chance to see Nick Offerman again, and also in a very different kind of role than from Parks and Rec.
I actually had been lucky enough to have the opportunity to see him in outside of Parks and Rec and see him perform live in two different settings, which it was interesting because the first was the Huntington Theater up in Boston did an adaptation of, I'm going to forget because I didn't enjoy it that much, A Confederacy of Dunces. They did a state adaptation of that, and Nick Offerman played the lead, and I just didn't enjoy the show, but he was fun. And then the second time I saw him was with his wife, Megan Mullally, doing a live show that they toured with called Summer of 69, no apostrophe, which was basically about their sex life. So that falls in with this real well. That was also delightful. So it was a lot going for this show, at least as far as me enjoying it. Like I'm probably going to dig it. Is Seth Rogen one of the producers as well?
He is. Yes. Him and his partner, Evan Goldberg, I think his last name is.
Yeah. It's funny because all the stuff that they produce, I tend to enjoy. I don't know what it is about their sensibility, but it just clicks with me so well. Like Preacher is another one they produced. I love that. I think they both worked on American Pickle because Seth Rogen was an American Pickle. Have you guys seen that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, I haven't.
That's amazing. And Dan, you saw
it? I did see American Pickle, yes.
Yeah. Scott, it's probably worth a watch. I would be happy to team up with Dan on a pitch for that for you. You probably like it. It's up on HBO Max, but this isn't the pitch for that, so maybe another time. But
yeah.
I guess to that point, the stuff that they produce together for some reason hits with me really well. So I'm looking forward to this, and I was supposed to watch it anyway. So it's about time.
Yeah, well, this is gonna be good. This is gonna be good. This is just another reminder that we all know what the internet is really for. Or porn.
The internet is indeed for porn, and I think I can say that we're all, or we were at the time, Pamela Anderson fans.
I'm not mad at her.
Yeah, I mean, again, there were a lot of, because Baywatch was such a kind of a visually iconic series. In and of itself, some of it's, hit or miss, obviously, but on a story perspective. But, it's very, you see someone in that bright red, lifeguard swimsuit, and you just know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah. And it had the Hoff.
Oh, that's right. It had the Hoff. And then, of course, Yasmin Bleeth was on it, and Cole Eggert, I think, was on a later season too.
Cole Eggert, wow, yeah.
Tracy Bingham,
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and also I wanted to ask both of you: have either of you seen Barb Wire, the movie that Pamela Anderson was in?
Oh, wow, yeah.
I think I did, years ago, when it first came out.
Yeah,
I don't even know if I got all the way through it. It's not good.
That's I've never seen it, but that's all I know about it, is that it was a bomb. Like, no one liked it.
Yeah. I did not enjoy what I remember of that movie. My mind is trying to kind of block it out of it.
And, well, it plays quite a big role in the series, because as more and more people find out about the tape, is leading up to the premiere of Barbed Wire.
Nice.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Now contextually, that makes more sense now in a historical perspective.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. And so, well, Nine, and based on what you said of the Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally stage show, there's definitely, it seems like, a pretty close to connection between the plot or the content, I would say, of this series.
Yeah, he's very sex positive and good on
sex. Sex also sells.
Yeah, amazing.
I was surprised you would pitch something that technically involves pornography, because it just doesn't seem to be like your thing.
It does. Well, yes, pornography is directly involved in a few different ways, actually, in this particular series.
I
was curious, ironically, I guess that's how people get into pornography too sometimes, just to find out more about what actually happened. Like, what was the big deal with this? How did it progress? Like, how did it get from, again, being like a private tape that no one was ever supposed to see, to this like widely distributed thing? And did they mean for it to happen? Did they, you know, how did this really come about? And I just remember hearing people talk about it and reference it without knowing a lot of details about it. So that's why I kind of got interested in it.
You could kind of see this as, you know, as probably like the one of the original fappening kinds of releases that existed in the ether.
Essentially, yeah. Though I think maybe we'll have to do a reverse pitch. Like, if Dan and I will watch, I guess, how long are the episodes? Are you recommending the first two, or are they shorter?
They are actually a little bit shorter. So I think you can get through the first three. And because it is on Hulu, there are commercial breaks, but they're fairly short.
Okay.
So I'll go back and double check that. But either the first two or the first three for sure.
Okay. Cool.
And then, so as a reverse pitch, then we would, I think it's fair to ask you to watch the original tape of Pam and Tommy Lee, and you tell us what you think.
That's
I guess I should now, right?
I guess we'll have to look it up for context.
Maybe to get
the full experience.
Maybe I should rewatch it in that mind. Yeah, but obviously strictly for research purposes, right?
Well, yeah, you want to be thorough, Dan. You want to be extremely thorough.
Yes, exactly. It's all for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, another reason I think both of you might like it is, and without spoiling anything, I will say Jason Mantzoukas is involved in the show.
Oh, yes.
In a very interesting way.
Of course Rafi is.
Of course.
You can't have Dirty Randy without Rafi.
And Jason Mantzoukas, isn't he one of the voices in Big Mouth?
Oh, yeah.
He is.
Well, he's Jay. Appropriately.
He's Jay. Yes, of course.
Cool. Scott, I think what you're trying to tell us here is that this movie might actually make us feel good. Maybe feel all right.
That is very possible. Yes. Yes, okay. Indeed. So, yes. So I will look forward to discussing you guys after you've had a chance to see this. And again, it's Pam and Tommy on Hulu.
Well, that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today, and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.